Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hoping you're having an absolutely spectacular day. Unless, of course, you're a Seahawk fan who woke up to a large kick in the junk. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show, and we're broadcasting live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. When you switch to Farmers, you could save a bundle. All you have to do is call 888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Adam Schefter reports that Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade, his agent Mark Rogers said. Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if he were traded, the only teams he would consider to go to are the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, the Bears. He has a no-trade clause, so Wilson does hold all the cards. Yes. Wilson does not hold all the cards. That is an agent tweet text to Schefter. Wilson holds all the cards. This is the most important thing I'm going to tell you, which most of you know and none of us do, which is read the fine print. Read the fine print. It's one of those things that it's a reason that I am a proponent of having athletes sit out for a year when they transfer. It's the same reason, the fine print. Because what you learn as an adult is contracts do matter. The truth about contracts is that you actually don't even have to have a written contract in order for it to be legally binding. It's true. Some states, of course, you have common law marriage. You don't have to be married. It doesn't have to be a marital contract. Based upon how long you've lived together, it's common law. Again, that depends upon state. But an orally agreed to contract is a legally binding contract in the United States. In most states, it all depends upon legalities and the discussion. Not even doesn't have to be recorded. Just two people have a conversation, agree to terms, that becomes a binding contract. That's the old word is your bond. But a written contract is just that. Now, there are exceptions to it. For example, if you ever go somewhere and you have to sign a waiver, right? I got to sign a waiver to go get on that roller coaster. Just so you know, if the roller coaster isn't properly maintained and something, God forbid, happens, you're stuck up there for 5 hours, you can sue despite your waiver. Doesn't really protect people. It gives you the false sense that it does. But contracts between two parties, they're binding. They matter. It's why you have a buyout in a coach's contract. It's why you have to sit out a year when you transfer, because there's that fine print. Hell, how many of you have recently updated your phone and it pops up the update, like you got to agree to terms, like, yep. You don't even know. Credit cards, perfect example. What's your rate on your credit card? Like, well, it doesn't matter. And for me, like, we try to not carry a balance. We try not put so much on the card that we carry a balance. Because if you carry a balance, all of a sudden, like, well, you know, I have 0.9% financing. Yeah, that's for your first 6 months. After that, bet it spikes up to about 18 or 21, depending upon the credit card, depending upon the state you live in. All right. So here's the news to the quarterbacks who think they hold the power. I hold the power. Hey, bro, we signed you to the biggest deal in the sport. And the fine print is we can't trade you. We can't cut you because you have this massive cap hit. Right? And while you might say, well, you know, why don't you wait till after June 1st? After June 1st, okay, it's only $13 million against the cap, dead cap, as opposed to $39 million before June 1st. But if you're trading Russell Wilson first, you're giving up on a superstar quarterback, which nobody does. Second, he's in his prime and he's under contract, which nobody does. Third, you're going to want to do it before the draft so you can draft his potential replacement. So you're not going to wait till after the draft, which is what June 1st is. The problem with so many of these quarterbacks is in their desire to get paid. I want to get paid. Okay. I want the new iPhone. I want the update. Okay. You got to sign the terms. You want a credit card? You got to check the terms. Because the terms say, hey, dude, you may not love it, but this is where you're going to play. Sorry. This is where you're going to play. Of course, some of this stems from, as he discussed on Dan Patrick. And look, I'm going to credit two people. Cowherd had this a year ago that Russell wasn't down for the plan. And Dan Patrick brought it out of Russell Wilson with his interview. They're two of the best. They're both only on Fox Sports Radio. Before the Thursday night game against Arizona, Wilson met with his coaches. For some time, Wilson has sought to, this is from The Athletic, have influence within the organization regarding scheme and personnel. In the meeting, he outlined his own ideas on how to fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed. Another reminder to Wilson that the Seahawks did not see him the same way he saw himself. As a player who earned greater control over his situation, his future, his legacy, he stormed out of the room. The Super Bowl this year was a trigger. Told you. Wilson flew to Tampa and watched the game in the suite next to the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, and as Tom Brady battled Pat Mahomes on the field, Wilson seethed. During the game, he texted Jake Heaps, his former teammate and private quarterback coach, to vent about watching the game instead of playing in it. Wilson later spoke with Carroll, according to a source, to talk about the way the Seahawks addressed the offensive line, an issue that had bothered Wilson for years. He wanted to know the team's plan, but it wasn't relayed to him, at least not to Wilson's satisfaction, the source said. Carroll implored him to have faith. But after the Super Bowl, Wilson took his message public on the Dan Patrick Show. Look, he watched Antonio Brown, who I'm sure he thought he could have handed on a silver platter to the Seahawks, and they were like, can't take him. Sorry, can't have him. We can't have that problem in our locker room. Dude, we know you want to fix the offensive line. We all want to fix the offensive line. We realize, do you know what we don't need? Is we don't need the peanut gallery telling us to fix the offensive line. Let us fix the offensive line. And oh yeah, by the way, one of the things that's prohibitive about the offensive line is all the money you are making. But I don't blame Russell Wilson for being upset. I don't blame Russell Wilson for being motivated by watching another team have the ticker tape. I don't blame him. But one, calling out your teammates on the Dan Patrick Show and then to local media people, I'm tired of getting hit when you hold the ball a long time and you collect the biggest check. And that's one reason they haven't had the same money to spread around. Like, some of it's a you problem. Now, is some of it their coaching? Yes, they changed schemes. And I'm sure that Pete Carroll is not perfect. And John Schneider is not perfect. But I think it's also clever on how many of these quarterbacks sign a long-term contract, which essentially makes them untradeable. Untradeable. So you want me to give you more money than anybody has ever made. And then if you're not happy, you want me to trade you. That only takes your skills from me, but also hurts me in the cap. Where do I sign up for this, Russell? Or I have you under contract and you got to show up to work and I got to figure out how to make it all work. Which do you think is a more likely scenario? Oh, then, and in the list that he has, that's like the list that people try to put together when they're married. Listen, this is my past list. You remember Gina from accounting? Like, it's never going to happen, but if it happened, Gina from accounting. And, you know, Halle Berry on the list, right? Halle Berry. Like, try that with your spouse. Listen, if Halle Berry... So then you're like, hey, hon, what's for dinner? Why don't you have Halle Berry cook you up some dinner? Yeah, that list thing, that ain't going to work. It sounds like a fun thing to do. You're out drinking with some friends like, hey, who's on your list? Oh, man, Gina from accounting's on your list. Why don't you let Gina from accounting, why don't you take her out? Russell Wilson. I'm not demanding a trade, but if you trade me, Cowboys would be good.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Oh, this just gets better and better. The Doug Gottlieb Show is live from the Farmers Insurance, Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. Here's how the Texans morning has gone. Just from Diana Rossini. She says, Houston continues to avoid conversations with teams in regards to trading Deshaun Watson. They're refusing to trade their franchise quarterback. Dan Graziano reported 4 minutes ago, per sources, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson met with new Texans head coach David Culley last Friday. In that meeting, Watson reiterated he wants to be traded and told Culley he has no intention of playing for the Texans. No change from Watson's end. He remains dug in. Deshaun Watson tweeted earlier today, loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it. Yeah. Okay, so here's the funny thing about the loyalty thing. Like, this goes hand in hand with what I discussed with the contract. What these players are saying is, the contract matters when I want to get paid, but it doesn't matter when I don't want to play here anymore. And it's the exact same hypocrisy of Deshaun Watson saying, yeah, loyalty, like, hey, bro, everything we've done has been to win with you. Everything. Everything we've done has been to win with and for you. Bill O'Brien was an offensive coach. When he worked with Tom Brady, when he worked at Penn State, when he worked with the Texans, he was an offensive coach. And in truth, the marriage did in fact work offensively. And even when he left, people keep talking about, well, DeAndre Hopkins. First, Watson signed the contract after Hopkins was traded. Second, and this is important, the weapons were so bad, it led the league in passing yards. He had a record-setting year for himself. Okay, so they don't have weapons? Like, what is it? Oh, the Laremy Tunsil. Why do you think they drafted Laremy Tunsil or traded for Laremy Tunsil? Because they wanted to protect and support their quarterback. Like, this is... Loyalty works both ways. That's the irony to what he's saying. And the hypocrisy to the, I need a huge contract, but that contract holds no value to me because I'm not happy with the current state of the team. You know? You'll never get enough value back. The dead cap money is huge. The biggest thing is that he's an MVP caliber player at the most important position. 3-1s is laughable. Laughable. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. Okay, let me explain something. The hit rate on first rounders is 53%. So you're going to trade Russell Wilson for 1.5 players that might not even be a quarterback? No way. There is no value, no evaluation to those two guys. Both are MVP caliber players, both are under contract, and there is 3-1s does not do it. And you might be saying, no, you're just radio guy, basketball guy. You know where I got that? That's from an NFL GM. Who's like, come on, dude. Well, they could sit out. It's not sitting out. Le'Veon Bell sat out. Well, Le'Veon Bell lost money. Le'Veon Bell was a free agent. Try it. Let's play again. If anything, the Russell Wilson thing, you would say, well, that's like Carson Palmer. Yet the difference is, at the time, the Bengals were the laughing stock of the league. After he got hurt, they were the Bungles. And ultimately, he retired, only to come back because they traded him to the Raiders. Right? But that was after he said he wanted change in the organization. This is not that dysfunctional organization. The Seahawks were in the playoffs this year. Of course, Russell Wilson has every right to be motivated and upset. Like, man, our offensive line got to get better. We need more dudes. Like, got it. No doubt. No doubt. But what is really, really important to note is there is no appropriate value for a superstar quarterback. And people say, well, you got to have three ones. They don't understand. Hit rate on free agents is 33%. Hit rate on first round picks is 53%. That's a league stat that everybody knows. So you think these coaches are sitting there going like, yeah, hey, let's trade away my quarterback. Or you say, you play a game of chicken and you say, you're not going
to
play.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
So let's welcome in Brandon Whedon. Of course, he started a quarterback for the Browns. He started a quarterback for the Cowboys and the Texans. He joins us every week and he does a great job breaking down situations. Of course, he was Deshaun Watson's backup. When Deshaun got hurt, he got the start. Okay, so you told us before that Deshaun ain't playing in Houston anymore, you don't think. He reiterated that to David Culley. Now you get Russell Wilson saying, hey, I'm not demanding to be traded, but here's four teams that I would accept a trade to. What are your thoughts on the situation in Seattle?
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, just now saw that. You know, he's got the no trade clause, which, you know, obviously he can control. He's got kind of all, the deck is kind of on his side, but I don't know if the numbers make sense. I mean, the cap hit that they would take as a team. Their head coach is, one of the older head coaches in the NFL, and so I don't really see him wanting to start over at quarterback. I'd be shocked if he moves on. I really do. I think that, that there may be a little bit of a negotiating tactic, maybe to say, hey, listen, man, I'm going into year 10 or 11, whatever he's going into. I'm kind of in the prime of my career. I'm playing good football. I need X, Y, and Z tools, whether the offensive line, position players or whatever, and just kind of giving him more say. And like I said, I think that's kind of the new thing in the NFL, right? Everybody's just, players are, they have a little bit more say, or they want to have a little bit more say, I should say. But yeah, I personally honestly don't see him going anywhere just because of the cap hit. I don't think that Seattle can afford to make that move.
I agree with you. Which is why you're like, why would Houston make the move with Deshaun Watson? Same thing.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know what his cap hit is. I just saw Russell's numbers and it was crazy.
Crazy.
I'm not sure what Deshaun, it's like, what, $39 million or something wild. But, I don't know. The situation in Houston is just it's so different. Seattle's got they got good structure. They got a good nucleus of what they want to do. They have a plan. They're all on the same page, it seems like. Obviously, this is the first really ruffling they've ever had up there. I mean, he's been in pretty good terms with everybody. It's all been pretty, like roses. I mean, Pete Carroll's got a lot of control, and everybody likes playing for Pete and the whole deal. I would say it's complete opposite in Houston. I mean, it's an absolute dumpster fire, and Deshaun.
Okay, so help us out. Okay, you've told us that before. Is it the Jack Easterby thing? And if so, like, what is it? Like, what makes it such a? And you've been in three different organizations. You've been in Cleveland, which was seen as a dumpster fire, not as much when you were there, right? Two different coaches in 2 years. You've been in Dallas. Like, what about that organization is different?
Well, it's changed a lot. I think whenever Bill O'Brien got all the power that he did, being the GM, being the head coach, being the offensive coordinator, they kind of went all in. And then, they hire Jack Easterby. And I'm just kind of reading between the lines and kind of just, the people I talk to just kind of casually, he's got that thing turned upside down. I don't think anybody in the building really trusts him except for, it sounds like, the owner. And if you're him, that's really the only guy that matters, because you know now he's got all the power to do kind of what he wants to do and run the program. And I don't mean this as a slight, but you know his role in New England had nothing to do with personnel. I mean, he was essentially a life coach, and then now he's running a $1 billion corporation with no experience. I mean, I don't know. Me and you aren't the smartest guys in the world, but to me, that doesn't seem like the right recipe to put together a roster to go out and compete. And
I agree with you. I would say though that, like, if we're fair, he hires a GM who is a coveted GM who does know what he's doing, right? Which is if you're running something and you don't know what you're doing, you hire somebody who does know what they're doing. Like, doesn't that give you a little grace? Like, what is it about him that turns Deshaun Watson off so much that he is sticking his feet in the ground saying, I don't want to play for this guy?
Yeah, that I don't know. I mean, I've talked to Deshaun a little bit. We haven't talked about that. I don't know. Yeah, I know he hired Nick Casario or whatever his name is. That obviously was thought of as a pretty good hire, but it's pretty evident that Jack Easterby has a ton of power still, and maybe in my opinion, too much power. For guys like J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson to become disgruntled, it's got to be pretty damn bad. And I know those guys extremely well. I was probably closer to those two guys and probably anybody on the roster. And for those two guys to be disgruntled and one out, man, it's probably – I mean, Easterby's obviously a large part of it, but there's got to be some other stuff going on without the organization. You got – they fired Mike Parson, the longtime equipment guy that everybody loved, was a great guy that did a phenomenal job. Their PR department, they fired them, which they did an unbelievable job. I mean, they've kind of just – they burned some bridges and they fired some people that, in my opinion, have kind of been the nucleus of that organization. They want to start over. They want to do it the Patriot way. Well, guess what? They don't have Bill Belichick in that building, and that's just a fact. And I know they want to try to do it that way, but, everybody that leaves New England thinks they can do it the Patriot way. You can't. You can't do it. And right now I think – Houston's just they're in a pickle, and obviously their star franchise quarterback's pissed off and he wants out, and I think either he gets out or he's not going to play. I truly believe that.
It's interesting you bring up the Patriot thing, and that's fascinating. You know, the Spurs have had kind of something similar there, right? Where now Budenholzer had some success in the regular season in Atlanta. It hasn't been, it has regular season success in Milwaukee, but not long-term success. Ironically, Sean Marks had a plan when he was in Brooklyn. That plan obviously changed when they got Kyrie Irving and then Kevin Durant, and now very different with James Harden. But it's interesting. You know, so many times we want to recreate the magic of a place, and it's just really, really hard. It's nearly impossible to recreate what happened somewhere else. Brandon Whedon's our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, we're getting ready for the draft, and you have Trevor Lawrence going one, and it feels like Zach Wilson's going to be the second quarterback taken. Have you seen him play?
Yeah, I've seen a couple games. I've maybe two or three. I'm trying to think what games it were. I can't even remember, but I mean, the guy's got some game, man. He's got some moxie. I mean, he's those teams. It sucks, let's say he goes to the Jets, whatever, and they decide to deal Darnold. I mean, it's still gonna be tough for him to succeed, especially early. I mean, that's the one negative about being drafted that early is your team suck. They've been bad for a long time, and so you got to come in there and try to turn that thing around. But I think he's a really good player. I mean, he's got a lot of hype around him. The guy's got unbelievable arm talent. He's got some, they're not the same player, but he's got some of that arm talent kind of like Mahomes has got. He's got some funky release angles and can kind of do some things on the run that are pretty good. He's an athletic guy. You can tell he's pretty gritty. So, yeah, I think he's a special talent. I expect him to be probably the second or third pick. And it sounds like there's going to be quite a few quarterbacks going inside that top 10.
What is it like to change franchises? Like what do you remember? And obviously you went from one as a starter to a backup in Dallas and ultimately became a starter when Tony got hurt. But what is it like to change franchises as we're seeing so many of these guys? Some go from starters to backup like Mariota. Like, you know, Mariota got more opportunity than you did, but kind of similar thing happened. Happened with Jameis Winston. But you also have guys, you know, you look at the Detroit-LA swap. You know, Goff has probably 1 year to prove himself, but he's going from organization to organization. What's that like to actually experience it?
You know, I think, you know, my situation, I'll speak on it. I mean, when I was in Cleveland, it was a dumpster fire. I mean, it was, I mean, I think we were on our third head coach coming in. I think third GM in 3 years. I mean, it was a rough organization. The culture was awful. I mean, the culture in the NFL is kind of, you know, the teams that can create a culture like that, usually it's by winning, are the teams that obviously have success. Well, you know, I was going from Cleveland, which in my opinion, probably 31st in the league as far as, you know, that team that year, you know, to the Dallas Cowboys, which arguably has one of the better cultures with, at the time, you know, with what they had going on with Jason Garrett and everybody else. They had a lot of veteran players and veteran coaches.
So when people say culture, from your experience, like, give me an example of why the culture was good in Dallas. What about the culture was good?
Well, the culture was good because it was how do I say this? You know, you have Jason Garrett, you know, Jerry Jones, and in most situations, not, I wouldn't say in Dallas because it's a unique situation, but most situations, there's not 50 cooks in the kitchen. You know, there's usually two or three guys making some decisions. You know, they trust the head coach. The head coach goes out and controls the 53 guys on the roster, and they do the deal. Dallas is obviously a little bit different. He's always there. He's overseeing everything, and it's a little different. But at the same time, yeah, guys like Jason Witten had been there for 14, 15 years. Tony Romo, Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin. I mean, guys that have been that played together for a long time. You know, they weren't cycling through player after player. Sean Lee, Barry Church. I mean, there was Brandon Carr. There was several guys. So, you know, we're talking guys that are 8, 9, 10-plus years in their career. So they've been together. They've been around. And they're not a bunch of young players. So they create a culture that, you know, one, you like to show up to work every day. Two, it's all business. I mean, we're here to work. It's our job. We show up. They show you how to work. You got to be there 35 seconds to see Jason Witten go out there and work. And you're like, okay, that's the way it's supposed to be done. And, you know, a lot of that's created with more so by the veteran players. I think the NFL is, you know, the head coach obviously gets a lot of criticism and a lot of praise. But, you know, it's all on the players, and especially the veteran players that go out and kind of create that culture and that winning culture. So Dallas had that. Cleveland, we obviously didn't.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's circle back to that Russell Wilson. Look, he didn't play well down the stretch, and I will grant you that they've had issues with their line and issues with the health of their running back, but he also makes a crazy, you know, there was a time when he had the biggest contract in the history of the sport, and they made the, like, I think the thing is, it helps Deshaun Watson now because they were so bad this year. The year before, they made the playoffs, and they had the 24-0 lead against Kansas City. And, you know, I know he never got any of the blame. Some of it does fall on, you're still the quarterback. You got to score some points. There's no perfect scenario with Russell Wilson. I guess he has the right to be, to want a better offensive line. But, you know, his contract and his style of play is part of it, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, he holds the ball and he gets out of the pocket, and, you know, sometimes that creates sacks when the numbers don't look good, and he's taking hits that he probably shouldn't take. There's no doubt. I mean, that's part of the deal. You know, I'd have to go up and down the roster. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, Tyler Lockett's obviously a very special talent. You know, DK Metcalf obviously a very special talent. You know, so he's got some nice weapons there. I don't know. I'm kind of reading between it, and it almost seems like there's more to it. You know, I don't know. I don't know why.
Gotta be, right?
Like, yeah. Cause I don't know why a quarterback would, you know, be this disgruntled, get it out to the media, you know, and that's another thing. And, you know, there's agents involved and there's all kinds of things. You know, maybe the agent says, you know, gets it to the media just to kind of, you know, stir up a little firestorm. Let's see if there's other teams out there, see if we can create a market or whatever it may be. I don't know. It's kind of a unique situation. You never really see a player step forward and really, let all the details out, especially a player of Russell Wilson's caliber. And, you know, he's a superstar in that league. So, yeah, I feel like there's got to be something else there. And I don't know what it is, obviously. I don't know. It's not all adding up for me. I'm sure more and more will come out as time goes on. But for a player to storm out of a room and, you know, be disgruntled because they don't want to upgrade their offensive line, it just seems like there's got to be more there.
Night before a game, and they're putting in the game plan and they're meeting, right? Have you ever seen it? You played three different teams. Quarterback ever get up and walk out?
I've never seen it. Yeah, there's not, you know, that's not the time and place, in my opinion. You're about to go play a game and you prepared all week. Two, and I was around. I joke, and I've been with Tony for 2 years. Everybody joked there. Everybody jokes around, you know, the league. The pecking order in Dallas was Jerry Jones, Tony Romo, Jason Garrett. You know, Stephen Jones, Jason Garrett. Tony had more control probably than any other quarterback in the history, maybe probably more than Tom even, of, you know, his say mattered. Jerry trusted him and all that. Even he didn't. You know, you never saw him get disgruntled. You never saw it, and he handled it the right way. But no, to answer your question, I can't say that I've ever seen it.
Interesting stuff. B, great stuff today. I mean, incredible insight in these situations. We really appreciate you joining us.
You got it, buddy.
All right, it's Brandon Whedon joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, Brandon, in addition to being a former professional baseball player, he's also a stick in golf.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's check in with Brian T. Smith from the Houston Chronicle. He joins us. So Brian, there was a meeting between David Kelly, the new head coach of the Texans, and Deshaun Watson. I've seen obviously the tweet of how it went, but give me the setup of what you've heard of how it went. Was it abrupt? Was it long? What was it actually like?
Well, the meeting was first reported by ESPN and then later confirmed by the Houston Chronicle. We have it up at HoustonChronicle.com. I have not reported that, so I can't get into, Doug, the specific details of what went on. I can just tell you what we've reported, and it's that they finally met. You know, Deshaun Watson had not put his name on this yet. When you had the leaks, which started with ESPN in early January, right around the time that Nick Caserio was hired as general manager, those leaks were obviously intentional. Those leaks, you know, got Watson's frustration out because leading up to that, for all the issues the Texans had, DeAndre Hopkins, Bill O'Brien, the Brian Gain firing, on and on and on, going 4-12, for all their dysfunction, Jack Easterby, et cetera, no one really knew that Deshaun Watson was frustrated until then. And so now, really like 6 weeks, 7 weeks later, Deshaun Watson has now told the head coach, finally, the new head coach, David Culley, who's never been a head coach before, that he doesn't want to play for the Texans anymore. So this is the first time that Watson has put his name on it. This isn't being leaked. This isn't anonymous sources. This isn't sources close to Watson. This is the quarterback himself telling the new head coach, I do not want to play for your team anymore. Hint, hint, trade me.
What's his issues that there's a line drawn in the sand there? Because if we want to say it's the Hopkins trade, he signed the contract after the Hopkins trade was made. So what's the issues?
A lot of this is all tied together. So there's no one thing. And I had a story in the Chronicle a couple of weeks ago, trying to talk to as many people as possible. It's very clear that this was building and building between Deshaun Watson and the Texans, and so much of the Texans' dysfunction, which has been covered in the Chronicle, covered in Sports Illustrated, covered by ESPN for more than a year now, this all built. But what pushed it over the top for Deshaun Watson was the team and primarily the owner, the CEO, Cal McNair, who's incredibly inexperienced, who was given the job, you know, basically by his father, Bob, who passed away a couple years ago. Cal McNair went out of his way to publicly tell everybody, you know, local media, national media. I remember there I think there was a CBS game toward the end of the season, and the announcer was saying, you know, Cal McNair has made a point to tell everyone that Deshaun Watson is going to be involved. He's going to be involved with these huge decisions because they fired Bill O'Brien after just four games, who was the head coach and general manager. If you're going to do that and you're going to tell your young franchise quarterback while your team is totally dysfunctional, you're going to have a say, and you involve him to the point that there are recommendations, whatever it is, you then ignore your search firm. You basically lie to the local media because the entire time Jack Easterby was not supposed to be involved, then he was involved. Then you make the decision and circle back to Nick Caserio. Yeah, Deshaun Watson signed the extension when after DeAndre Hopkins had been traded. And Deshaun Watson signed this, you know, four-year, $156 million extension. And the Texans had major issues. But they hadn't lied to his face. They hadn't, you know, from his perspective, really embarrassed him. And not listen to him. So that's the heart of this problem. It's broken trust. It's broken faith. Deshaun says, you know what? I was really, really good on a bad team last year. You've already released J.J. Watt. You didn't receive anything for him. You traded DeAndre Hopkins. You just hired a head coach who's never coached before. Yeah, I signed on the dotted line, but I knew you had that you had serious issues before I signed. And since after I signed, you've only made it worse and worse and worse. I don't want to play for you anymore. That's his perspective.
Okay, now for the Texans, they've said they're not trading because there's really not a value that you can establish. Like I talked to a GM earlier today who's like, three first round picks, that's not even close. Because the hit rate on first round picks is like 53%. And that's not even, forget about the fact that you're trying to get a quarterback and a superstar quarterback, right? So the idea of trying to find the appropriate value, do you buy that they absolutely won't trade him until after the draft?
Now, that's a great point, and that's what I got into a couple weeks ago, and I just tweeted that story out. Here's the thing. So one side is Deshaun Watson's side, and I understand that side, and that's been reported. That's what the media has run with. You know, the Texans wronged Deshaun Watson. The Texans are so messed up. Oh, my God, the Texans are the new Cleveland Browns or the Al Davis Raiders toward the end. You know, whatever you want to say, they're the most dysfunctional team currently in pro sports. Okay, that's fine. Maybe we could all agree on that. The other part of this, though, is that he did sign a four-year, $156 million extension last September. Go find me anyone in NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball history that signed an extension that massive, been a player that talented and that important to a team. I mean, we all agree there's no position in pro sports like franchise quarterback. It'd be like trading Tiger Woods in his prime. You know, I mean, there's no market for it in the sense that it's unprecedented. So what are you going to get back that's going to make it worth it? Four first-round picks, five first-round picks? Are you going to blow the Herschel Walker deal out of the water? And here's the thing. Just because you get all those picks, like you just said, doesn't mean you're going to get the next Deshaun Watson. So that's the problem with all this. We can all agree that the Texans screwed this up. They angered Deshaun Watson. He doesn't want to play for them anymore. But if I'm the Houston Texans, I continue to dig in until you receive an offer that you can't refuse. And the problem with that is going to be just because you get it doesn't mean it's going to work out. So if you're taking sides on this, it's really easy to always go against the Texans. But I understand where they're coming from in the sense that you don't trade this guy until you have an offer that you cannot refuse. It's got to be the biggest trade in NFL history, and even then, it could still blow up in their faces.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I'm with you. Plus, if you trade him, what if you can trade him after signing the biggest contract in franchise history? What contract do you have that a guy can't say, like, hey, I ain't playing either? Trade me too.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. And I tried to include this in that story, and I couldn't get it in because I honestly knew it's one of those things that would get pulled so out of context. But here's what I heard when I was researching this story, and this is going to be a thing. There are obviously people, when I mean people, GMs, teams, league personnel, that don't want this trade to happen. I'm not saying it's conspiracy. I believe ultimately the Texans will have to trade Deshaun Watson, or he's going to have to sit out a year or threaten retirement or whatever. I think this thing could get really, really nasty if they don't trade him right before the draft. But I had a prominent agent tell me just a few weeks ago that this situation is being watched across the league, because as badly as the Texans screwed it up, and I keep saying that because they did, but he signed a four-year, $156 million extension. You can say relationships change and, you know, people fall in love and then they fall out of love. You still signed an extension. You're under contract for 4 years. So exactly, what are contracts worth anymore? Do you have to, you know, do you just want to, you want to go on a Trevor Bauer type 1 year deal so you can keep bouncing around? I mean, if he knew he had problems before and he was thinking of getting out and he wants his freedom, he shouldn't have signed the extension. So I completely sympathize with him. But if I'm an NFL GM or if I'm an owner or I'm a fan of another team, I mean, on some level, you have to think about this from a league perspective as well. This is an unprecedented situation, and the reason it's unprecedented is because you don't trade franchise quarterbacks when they just signed a four-year extension and they're 25 years old, just entering their prime. So I guarantee you that most of the league, unless you're the team that gets Watson, doesn't want him to get traded, because you could theoretically open up Pandora's box and all of a sudden you're turning the NFL into the NBA.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons the franchise tag exists. That's exactly something that they do not want. By the way, why they hired David Culley?
No one in the world knows. And this is why they're so dysfunctional. This is why it's so easy to pull for Watson, because David Culley, super super friendly, nice guy, seemingly. If he's going to be the bridge that brings Deshaun Watson in, it sure as hell isn't Jack Easterby. It's not going to be Nick Caserio. Now David Culley's already backfired on you, right? Deshaun Watson has told David Culley he doesn't want to play for the Texans anymore. Exactly. Why is he your head coach? And this needs to be pointed out too. Russell Wilson had issues before, reportedly, with the Seattle at the same time that Deshaun Watson did with the Texans. But is it a coincidence that Russell Wilson, who's still got a few years left in his deal, is throwing his power around and Deshaun Watson is as well? I mean, on some level, this is the NBA, power moves being moved into the NFL. And I think it's fascinating. I think some fans love it. Some fans hate it. It's incredible for the media and the talking heads and the TV panel shows. But you've got two of the best young, in their prime quarterbacks in the NFL under long-term deals, both saying or threatening to force their way out. This would not have happened at all in the NFL just a couple years ago.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see. There isn't any question. Hey, man, great insight, Brian. Appreciate it. Can't wait to read what you write next in the Houston Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter, @Cron, that's C-H-R-O-N, like Chronicle, B. Smith. It's Brian T. Smith, a talented columnist for the Houston Chronicle, covering all things Houston sports. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I really do appreciate it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.